Again, more pages from the article. For vets with mental scars, healing can be hard to find. Some of the quotes here. I've shot kids. I've had to kill kids. Sometimes I look at my son and think like I've killed a kid his age. Obviously, some of these veterans have gone through horrors that worse than you've gone through.
Absolutely.
They've had to shoot their guns and so forth.
What I saw of combat was...
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Oh my God, it's live! Can you believe it? I'm back! I have bandwidth! It's incredible! I'm amazed! Will miracles never... Well, I don't believe in miracles, but well... Welcome aboard, everybody! After, what is it, almost 2 bloody weeks, I return... I can't believe it. I can't even tell you the frustration that I've been going through the last couple of weeks. As you know, we've had incredible storms here over the last couple of weeks. It's been actually nice and sunshiny the last few days. But my internet provider took a mad whack. And I had a pittance for bandwidth for days. 4 days, 4 days, 4 days, 4 days, 4 days. And so much has happened since I was last on air, I don't even know where to start. Oh, but this feels good. I've been just waiting for this moment. I can't even tell you. Thanks for being with us. You're, of course, on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you live from Sydney, Australia. Oh, I just, I'm kind of just... at a loss for where to go, because it's just, there's been stuff happening everywhere. We've got Dick Cheney, just like, I can't even get to the green stuff yet, but Dick Cheney's finally being shown to be the manipulative, secretive, law-breaking, spying, little bag of crap that we've always known. You know, this stuff about him spying on White House staffers, I mean, I don't even have any of the stories in front of me. I'm just going to kind of rant about things in general for a bit, if that's okay. And, you know, this guy, I mean, the hubris of this man, and, you know, he spent so many years in public office, in federal politics, that he has made himself this really, really unbelievably corrupt, manipulative creature that people are afraid to touch. And he thinks he's invincible. You know, he's one of these guys that I really, really do hope, at least for one person, there is a hell. And he goes there. And if karma is worth anything, that son of a bitch is going to suffer. Now, I've been so busy with my job that I haven't been able to really pay a whole lot of attention to. I haven't been able to catch, you know, any of the horn programs. I haven't really gotten to listen to much radio from the States. So I haven't been able to hear the reactions or any insight. But all this, these failed bombings in the UK. Can I ask one question? And has anyone asked this question? Who does this serve? That is the question. Who does this serve? You know, the coincidence that it happens just as the new prime minister takes office. You know, this doesn't really serve, say, you know, Iraqi insurgents. No. This only serves those who rely on the fear factor. And my little tinfoil hat's been buzzing like crazy. I have a couple of people who I actually would think are actually behind this. One of them would be the CIA. I know this is just going off, but I'm sorry, you know, it's just like the bells are just going off in my head. Who does this serve? And I was sent a very interesting story. You know, old Johnny Howard down here in Australia is, you know, one of Shrubby's favorite little ass lickers. And rumor has it that the best kept secret in federal politics here in Australia is that John Howard is going to withdraw the Australian troops. Just as, you know, and this is coming out just as he has been going off, you know, with the London bombing, you know, stuff that went on, the bombings that ended up not being bombings, and I'm, you know, thankful for that, and how they were, you know, discovered by ambulance drivers and you know, I mean, it wasn't intelligence organizations that you know ended up fouling things up for those that wanted to create carnage. But Johnny Howard says, see, vigilance works, see, because we had the fridge magnet campaign down here in Australia, where, you know, they sent out the what the hell was it? It was a be aware, not alarmed, and report any suspicious activity. and they had these fridge magnets that we were supposed to put up to remind us to go and report our bloody neighbors. So I asked the question, who did this serve? I have no answers for you, but I have a whole lot of speculation, and I'm not really going to go down the road. But I have to ask the question, who does this serve? You know, my partner in this life is from the UK. And the moment this popped up, she's saying, right, look at the timing. Now, on Late Line, which is the Australian ABC's evening news magazine thing nightly, they had a security and intelligence expert guy on talking about what's transpired recently, and he did say something that I did find interesting, and it was kind of the way that he said it, and he reiterated it a couple times. He was saying how one thing that has been reassuring to the English has been the fact that Gordon Brown has actually gone back to the way prime ministers used to act. Not saying that this guy's going to really be any better than Tony Blair, Bush's former favorite cheerleader. However, reports are that he hasn't politicized this thing. And he has actually gone back to the way prime ministers used to act, that he came out and spoke to the public, but wasn't running the show, and let those who handle such things in their portfolios actually take whatever action needed to be taken. In other words, the British people were sick of having a Unitarian prime minister that they had in Tony Blair, and they were seeing something returning to days of old where you didn't have vanguard leaders thinking that they were the bee's knees of everything and had to handle everything and had to politicize every single event. And I mean, part of this happened in his own home territory, so I mean, you know, it was probably pretty close to his own heart. But I'm very suspicious. I can't even tell you. I am so suspicious. And, you know, they already have people in custody. Like that. So quick. So fast. So efficient. Until, you know, until I see something seriously otherwise. Let's just say I'm a bit wary of the whole thing, because as far as I'm concerned, it only plays into the hands of the fearmongers. I don't know what else to say. Call me crazy. Call me nuts. Many people have. All right, before we head out to our first break, when we come back, we're going to do our track of the day, and it's something really, really different. This is not big rock. This is something really, really interesting. I think you're going to dig this. Now, if you have handy, I suggest during the break that you go and get your favorite incense and set it up at your desk in your office, if you're at home, whatever, because I think it will just make it, I don't know, it'll set the mood. And I think you're really, really going to dig where we're going. It ain't no 3-minute pop song neither. So I suggest you do that, you know, make a cup of chamomile tea. Oh, my. All right, folks, we're going to head out to this first break of the return of Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. I can't even tell you how happy I am to be back. So stick around, folks. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. We shall return with a most interesting piece of music. We'll be right back.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office 1-888-384-5249. I can see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And no, this is not a rerun! Oh, I'm so happy to be able to say that. And then it'll really mess with people when this ends up being a rerun sometime on a weekend. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Today's track of the day is really, really neat. And I know a few of you are going to be going, what brought this on? Well, I'll tell you what brought this on. Gail and I were working in the house this weekend. And Gail decided to go through the massive drive of music that we have here. Thank you, Mr. B1 Louder. And she decided to play things that she didn't recognize and didn't think she knew, and so she stumbled on a group of four albums featuring a gentleman who's known as VM Bhatt. Now, his name is actually Pandit Vishwa Mohan Bhatt. Now, this guy is an amazing Indian guitar player, and he did these four records, one with Bella Fleck and a couple of other people. But I got a track from the album's called A Meeting at the River, and this is with Rye Cooter. And so you have, you know, one of America's greatest ever bluesmen, slide players, playing and melding this with an Indian slide guitar player. And it's been referred to as Ganji River Blues. And from a Wikipedia on VM Bhatt, it says, although he had established himself as a recording artist in India as early as 1970 and had toured and recorded with his guru abroad, including Shankar's ambitious Inside the Kremlin from 1989, his major international breakthrough came with the album A Meeting by the River, a collaboration with American slide guitarist Rye Cooter that would be awarded a Grammy Award for Best World Music Album in 1994. So just kick back. Like I said, if you have any incense laying around, spark it up. You can spark up other things too if you're inclined. But this is just an amazing, amazing, beautiful piece of music. And it's a ride. It's an absolute glorious ride. So without further ado, Rye Cooter and VM Bhatt, A Meeting at the River. Roll it, Bob.
Thank you.
how cool is that? How unbelievable is that? And can I just tell you, as an old drummer, how tabla players just do my head in? That math just never ceases to amaze me. And the amount of noises that you can get out of a clay pot is just incredible. But, you know, in the words of Australia's great legendary music guru, Molly Meldrum, do yourself a favor. Go to today's show post and click on the album cover, and it'll take you to Amazon. And I think for like $8, you can get that album of VM Bot and Rye Cooter. Just outrageous stuff. And I may play a couple of other things from the related albums. The Bella Fleck one is pretty outstanding too, and I don't know how many of you might be familiar with Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, but you know, just incredible stuff. Anyway, wow, it's just such peaceful stuff, and it's kind of, you know, it's music like that, you know, it's kind of got more of a storyline to it than that, you know, verse chorus that we're, you know, so inundated with, you know. And not saying that it's all bad, because I play plenty of it, but you know, there's something about when there's a musical journey, and you know, Bob was saying in our production chat how, you know, you're kind of like anticipating, waiting for it to kick in, but it's always holding back, and then just when you've gotten over waiting for the big boom to come in, then finally the tablas kick in, and it's just like, whoa! And you just go for an amazing little ride, and that's what makes music great. So anyway, enough of that. A little bit of, I guess, programming note. Because I've been off air, I've got a couple of Sears music spots that we haven't gotten to. And so we're probably going to run those, say, Thursday and Friday, I do believe. I'll confirm that up. I've got to talk to Mr. Sears a little bit. Don't worry. We haven't lost them, but there's a couple of them in the can. They're great. I've heard them. You haven't. Ha, ha, ha. But, you know, maybe Thursday and Friday we'll do those after the Independence Day break. Independence Day. Wow. Why does that seem like it's, you know, it's a celebration of something completely lost now? What has happened to the American democracy? Tell you, you know, all this stuff with Cheney and Bush wanting, you know, refusing the subpoenas and all this other stuff, you know, this whole Article 5 thing that Mr. Joel Hirshhorn and I had the conversation about a couple weeks ago just seems to be more and more of the thing we need to do. You know? Actually, Joel had a follow-up piece from the Americans Unready to Revolt, Despite Revolting Conditions piece, where he talked about Americans as the frog in the pot of boiling water thing. And, you know, I'm really wondering if enough people are going to, you know, realize that they're about to boil to death, you know, before doing something, or is the American populace just going to sit there and allow themselves to be absolutely decimated? Because I tell you, from over here, it's looking pretty scary. Looking really scary. I look at my home country from across the pond, and I just think, what the hell happened, and when did we lose control? And when did we let the lunatics grab hold of the helm? I look and I see a situation that I could never have fathomed. And I mean, is that what makes it so hard for people to actually realize and take action? You know, is it just that unbelievable? You know, is America, are Americans that naive? I really think that that's what it is. You know, it's like we're children. As long as daddy says we're okay, we'll just keep going. Doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter if daddy's drunk at the wheel and heading straight for the brick wall. You know, I keep looking at it. I'm going, oh, you know, I got these environmental stories that I should be going to, but it's just, it seems like, you know, what's the point? But I know that that's not really the right attitude to have. But I am utterly amazed at where the United States of America has allowed itself to end up. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And, you know, we have nut jobs like Lieberman. I mean, that guy's a lunatic. Absolute lunatic. You know, this guy, you know, is claiming that anyone, you know, just what I've been reading from him, you know, anyone that doesn't agree with him is just a Nazi type, sympathizer and all this other kind of crap. I still reckon that Al Gore must, you know, occasionally, I've said this before, must wake up at night in a cold sweat going, oh, that guy was actually my running mate. But, you know, for those of us that, you know, understand that, you know, the media and other entities actually kind of decide how the horse races go in our political system now, know that Al Gore never was the one that chose him. And, you know, it really is looking more and more every day that Al Gore is the guy that we need to have. I've been holding back on this, thinking that, you know, as a private citizen, he's doing a whole lot more good, but really, it's looking more and more like this is the guy that we need to have to show some actual leadership, to bring logical dialogue into our system. And I reckon he could fund his own election so he wouldn't owe anybody nothing. He could be his own man. And then maybe make some real changes like publicly funded elections. You know, get rid of the bloody, you know, privatized voting machines. I mean, how many... How much of this are we going to take? How much of this are we going to take? And, I mean, it's all well and good for me to go off on a rant, me being all the way over here. You know, in some ways I feel like a bit of a hypocrite. And, you know, we've been having talks about me coming back to the States for a while, but, you know, I'm starting to wonder if I really want to. Do I really want to? Do I want to go to a place that is absolutely destructive to its own people? That has become so stupid that they believe, you know, fairy tales instead of science. That they believe we are so righteous. And I'm just so sick of the crap that I hear coming from over the pond. And I mean, you can't get most of the American public to pay attention to a real debate because they're too busy watching some slag slut like Paris Hilton going in and out of jail. Some stupid bitch who has done nothing but make herself famous by being some rich slut. Giving oral sex on a bad camera. This is claim to fame now. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And I'm going to try and go and have a dialogue about saving the bloody planet over there? What are you, nuts? I might as well take a gun to my own head. Unbelievable. It's just, you know, gone, you know. I'm hearing Ozzy Osbourne. I'm going off the rails on a crazy train. All aboard. Can you tell I have a little bit of pent-up frustrations from being off air? And I've just been watching all this insanity go by, and I'm going, where's my show? Where's my bandwidth, damn it? Oh! Unbelievable. But then again, we've been watching this insanity develop not for months, but for years now. Years. Incredible. All right, we're going to take the last break for the day. I'm going to try and get off the peeved ranting, but I'm telling you, I'm getting sick to my stomach watching what's going on over, you know, over there. And, you know, y'all can email me and tell me that I'm a jerk. I don't, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know. But it's not looking good. It's not looking good. Anyway, we're going to take this final break and come back and wrap up the return show. It's a really big show. Anyway, you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I am John Fox. I'm still in Sydney. And I'm ranting at you guys over there. But anyway, we'll be back straight after this break.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Bush and Cheney are going down the Nixon slide. Bush has decided not to comply with the House Judiciary Committee's subpoenas for documents dealing with the firing of the U.S. attorneys, and he's likely to do the same over requests for information on Cheney's and Gonzalez's role in the NSA spying scandal. Bush invoked executive privilege. That's got a ring to it, doesn't it? John Conyers, head of the House Judiciary Committee, said, "This is reckless. It's a form of governmental lawlessness that's really astounding." Conyers should know. He sat on the Judiciary Committee when it voted to impeach Richard Nixon back in 1974. And let's remember, one of the three articles that Nixon was impeached on concerned just this kind of stonewalling. Article 3 said, "Richard M. Nixon failed without lawful cause or excuse to produce papers and things as directed by duly authorized subpoenas issued by the committee. In refusing to produce these papers and things, Richard M. Nixon acted in a manner contrary to his trust as president and subversive of constitutional government." Well, you can just cut and paste Bush and Cheney's names and put them right in there. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It wasn't exactly Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, "Oh, cool." And they wiped out the name where it says, "The plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden." Somebody's got to call up and say, "Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?" "Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?" "Oh, just a moment. Let me check." "It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
"Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap." "There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6 foot 7 inch Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes."
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Head On Radio Network. I'm actually back, in case you've just joined the program. And I've just been losing my mind. I've probably made little sense in this entire hour, but I feel better. It's been very, very cathartic, to say the least. But I tell you, it really has been very, very frustrating watching the news without being on air. You know, there was even points where I just had to turn it off. Now, I don't know if you all have been hearing about the Aboriginal crisis over here in Australia. Now, a report came out a couple of weeks ago about the unbelievable sexual abuse of Aboriginal children that's been going on in the Northern Territory, probably the worst. And you've had local cab drivers, you know, basically pimping out Aboriginal girls and all this. Now, this stuff's been going on for, you know, years. The average Aboriginal lifespan is 10 years shorter than the average Australian white person. That just tells you how bad things are. There's no services. It's been an absolute mess. And now John Howard turns around. This is just to let you know that it's not all the insanity is not just over in the States. So John Howard comes out with this sudden, massive plan of action to save the Aboriginal children. Well, why the hell hadn't he been doing anything for the last 10 years? Well, what's been interesting is the voters aren't buying it. A poll came out today that 58% of Australian voters believe that this is nothing but a pre-election stunt, and they're not buying it. Now, here's the thing, and what doesn't get talked about enough, I've been seeing more about this on things like Comment is Free at the Guardian than in the Australian media, is the fact that they have basically taken the land rights back from the original people, from the Aboriginal people. It's a land grab. This whole thing is partially a land grab. Now, they're saying they're just going to lease it for 5 years. Now, the thing that you got to understand is the Aboriginals own a lot of the land where a whole bunch of the uranium's located. So you tell me that hidden in amongst all this, we must save the children thing, which is an amazing cover story. It's an amazing cover story, but this is a land grab. This is an absolute... He sent the military up. And so now you have the Aboriginals wondering, and you know this has to be in the back of their mind, are we going to end up with another stolen generation situation? But again, the Australian public are not buying it, and I have to give them credit for that. Because John Howard has had over a decade to do something about this problem. And it's not playing. I mean, the indigenous owners of this land have been so screwed by white people. It's that simple. And, you know, they talk about, you know, they basically outlawed alcohol in these Aboriginal towns. All the grog had to go. And no one's actually talking about the big white elephant in the room, which is white colonists have destroyed the oldest civilization on the planet. And John Howard is a little piece of choose your brown word for what he's pulling. And he's just up on his high horse that he's suddenly caring about the Aboriginal kiddies. What a load of crap. And just like in America, you know, there's this one Aboriginal leader who's come out and being the Uncle Tom, and he says, oh, all these people screaming up and down that it's a land grab and it's this and that are just getting in the way of fixing the problem. What? You can't ask questions? Suddenly sending the military up to take control of Aboriginal land isn't something to be questioned. And this is this is one of the things that's in this. All the Aboriginal children under the age of 14, I think it is, have to go for mandatory sexual checks. All these children have to be taken in by government doctors and be poked and prodded. Would white parents feel good about this if it was their children? I think not. Legally terrorizing these people when what they need is help, what they need are services, what they need are bloody doctors. Like regular ones, where they can get actual health care on a regular day-to-day basis. They need schools that function. They need treatment programs. And, you know, most of this pedophile insanity that's going on, the buyers are the local white people, eh? Are we going after them? No. We're criminalizing the victims. I wish I could get behind it and think that they're doing the right thing. But again, I am so skeptical of this, and I think I have every right to be, and so do the Aboriginal people. In the chat room, someone says, it sounds like it's a ghetto up there. Well, and it is. It is. It's worse than a ghetto. It's worse than a ghetto. And it's one of the most unbelievably sad things that I've ever seen. You know, I've been working on getting the local Aboriginal council here to actually voice over for my show a dedication to the original owners of the land in which my studio sits on, because I feel it would be the right thing to do. And I hope to have that happen, and I really want to have that happen now, because I think it's just criminal. Bloody land grab. All right, folks, got to wrap it up. Cup of Joe is coming up next. Might even stick around and have to listen to a little bit of that before I go to bed there, Mr. Vecchio. Thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing today. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions for the music, as per usual. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they've done for us. Thank you to all of you, our bloggers, our mods. Jeez, I missed you guys. I'm so glad to be back on air. And I will be on tomorrow, I promise. I'll get back to normal programming tomorrow. I'll do some environmental stuff. But anyway, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We will see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, it's back time again for another episode of the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Vecchio. How are you doing today? Wake up! Get the hell up. Time to get moving. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. What the hell are you still doing up? Or asleep? Crying out loud. I keep telling you time and time again not to be asleep at this time of day. Because otherwise you wind up like your Uncle Smarmy. You want to be like your Uncle Smarmy, huh?
who works at the fish shop and smells like fish. Excuse me. How's everybody doing? I hope you all had a great weekend. No news today. That's because nothing happened over the weekend. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what the hell's wrong. I never know anything that's going on. All I know is about the show. There's no news today. So we're going to start the show right at 9 o'clock and not at 10 o'clock and not wait for you. So. I'm always the last to know everything. That's because of attention. That's a good reason. I hope everybody had a pretty good weekend. It's a beautiful day. It was a beautiful weekend.